I had a very special treat this morning. I had a coffee cookie for breakfast. Janae brought a coffee cookie to me, one that she had made. It had ground coffee in it and coffee beans baked into it. So I'm sitting there eating my egg, and she brings a coffee cookie. I said, well, that sounds like a pretty good combination. So you take a bite of this coffee cookie, and you get a little crunch, and a little nicotine goes boop. So I made out pretty good with that coffee cookie and my egg. Oh, my goodness. Okay. You got me. You got me. Okay. By the way, I don't do mornings. Just like I don't do Mondays, I don't do mornings. I get caught all the time at work. I'll say things like that in the morning. But I'm here, and God's been good to me. I had a good week, except for Mondays. I don't do Mondays. Okay, the call of Jeremiah. I would like to look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 10. Okay, let's read this, and I want to listen to it. I want you to listen to the words very carefully and see what we can discover in the call of Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me and said, I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. But I protested. Oh, no, Lord God. Look, I don't know how to speak because I'm only a youth. Then the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a youth, for you will go to everyone I send you to and speak whatever I tell you. Do not be afraid of anyone, for I will be with you to deliver you. This is the Lord's declaration. Then the Lord reached out his hand, touched my mouth, and told me, I have now filled your mouth with my words. See, I have appointed you today over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and demolish, to build and to plant. Now think about Jeremiah, a young man, and God says to him, I knew you before you were even born. I was there when you were being formed in the womb. And even in the days pre-birth, I had appointed you for a work in the kingdom. I chose you before I formed you. Now, Jeremiah had a specific calling, but I'd like to say this morning that all of us also have a specific calling. And this is my strong, strong personal belief, and I think Scripture backs it up very solidly, that all believers, all of us who are adopted as God's children, which is what happens when we become saved and go to Him for the forgiveness of sin and salvation, then we are appointed for particular work in His kingdom, all of us. It's not like God says, well, you just come along for a ride. And, well, this one, you guys just come along for a ride, and the ones over here, you're the workers. No, it's not quite like that. And notice that Jeremiah, a young man, He made excuses. I cannot speak. I'm too young. I am only a youth. Don't we also have that tendency? We feel in our spirits that God wants us to do something. We feel that it's not really a pressure, it's like a drawing. Like, I should be doing something, and God kind of comes alongside through His Holy Spirit, and He helps us to notice certain things in the church and people's lives. And the Holy Spirit may come along and say, you know, you could help that person. They need a friend. You could help that person. And we tend to be just like Jeremiah, and we tend to make excuses. I don't know how. And one thing about that phrase, when we as believers say, I don't know how, that's just a challenge for the Holy Spirit. Because He comes alongside us and He says, I will teach you how. I will show you. I will remind you of the words of Jesus and how Jesus ministered to people. And He wants to come alongside us. So what if we would do? What if we would do a, I'll call it a search and destroy mission, and replace those excuses with thoughts like this. I can't speak. I don't know enough about the Bible. I don't know how to help people. And again, that's a challenge for the Holy Spirit. He's right there to help you when you're willing. So let's do in our minds, think of the excuses that we make. And it's very common to mankind that we make excuses when God calls us to do something. How about we do a search and destroy mission? And replace those thoughts with, oh, I'm a child of God. What does that mean? So instead of thinking, I can't do this because, what if we would say in our hearts, we train ourselves to say, I'm a child of God. What does that mean? And what if we'd say, well, He knew me before I was born, while I was in the womb, and He was forming me. He planned particular things for me to do. He planned, could we say, a job, a description of a ministry. He planned all that before I was born. So every time an excuse comes up, if we would think like that, I'm a child of God, He planned for me before I was born. And what if we all went beyond that and we thought, wait a minute, when Jesus left and ascended up into heaven, what did He say? He said, there's one coming. The Holy Spirit is coming. And He will go, He said, He will go with you. And He will remind you. He will teach you. He will even give you the power to do what Father God is asking you to do in the kingdom work. What if we thought that very deeply? He's going to give me clarity. He's going to make it clear to me what I'm doing, what I'm supposed to be doing, what He's asking me to do. And He's going to give me the power. But first He'll make it clear what He is asking us to do. He'll give me direction, clarity, and focus. You know, we are so much. By the way, this thing drives me a little bang bonkers. That nicotine's kicking in here. We are so much like Jeremiah. We make our own excuses. We even go as far as we defend our inability or unworthiness. We actually defend that. And here's what happens. And I'm just speaking from my own experience. I'm just speaking from what I know about myself, number one. And I'm speaking what I know about people that I've talked to over the years, believers I've worked with and talked to, ministered to. We make our excuses and defend our inability and unworthiness with things like this. I can never meet God's standards. How can I be used? I've got all these issues, and He has so many standards. I can never meet His standards. And I gave that a pet name. Because all of us, at some point in our life, we have thought like that. I call that suffocation syndrome. It's like I'm suffocating under all these standards that I can't meet. And we find that over the simple gospel message that you cry out to me. Father God says, you cry out to me. And my son Jesus died on the cross to take care of your sins. And when we cry out forgiveness, He says, it is done. It is done. Now let's move on. I can never meet God's standards. It kind of suffocates our spiritual life. And I've been there. Particularly when you are in settings where there are a lot of layers placed, expectations and layers placed over the basic simple gospel of Jesus Christ died for my sins to make me worthy to do whatever He calls me to do. So is that's one thought that people so often have. And then there's, God could never use me after all that I have done. And I've literally heard this. If I would ever walk into a church, lightning would strike. After what I've done, lightning would strike the moment I walked in. I've literally had people tell me that. I call that lightning strike syndrome. That I am so bad that all God wants to do is kill me. If I'd even get close to Him, He'd slap me aside. Let's not let these thoughts that suffocate us, that keep us from investing in people's lives. And let's just get back to, in our minds, we're thinking continually about the simple, basic truth of the gospel. The simple gospel. When we cry out to Him for forgiveness, He does it. It doesn't matter what we've done. At the foot of the cross, all sins are equal. He died for them all. And then we get the thought, I can't. I don't have the ability. I can't. I'm not able. I'm not educated. I'm along for a ride, and I like Jesus. I like God. I believe in the Holy Spirit. But, you know, I just can't invest in people's lives. I don't have it. Now, understand what I'm saying here, but I call that the mannequin or dummy syndrome. I'm just along for a ride. I'm like that dummy in that car that's floating around, that Tesla that's floating around in space that they sent up with a dummy in it. I'm just along for a ride. I can't do anything. I'm just along for a ride. I'm just a dummy strapped in the passenger seat. God, you're driving this thing. And I'm just a dummy strapped in here. So don't give in to dummy syndrome. There's none of us here when we're close to the Holy Spirit, when we've learned to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit, and we know when He's speaking, and we recognize His voice. None of us are dummies, because the wisdom, the understanding, the words of Jesus, the Holy Spirit brings them to us. He reminds us of the work that Jesus did, and He said, greater works than I did you shall do, because I go to my Father, and I will send the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you and give you direction. So I wonder if Jeremiah was thinking of any of these things, these kind of remarks and questions, but he may have been. And it's very common, very, very common for us to think that way. And a big one, a final point under this part, another area, it's a big, big problem in our modern world. I have an addiction. I can't beat it. All my time, my energy, my focus goes into beating the addiction I have. I can't beat it. I've tried. And there are others. What will pull us out of our ingrained excuses, our excuse-making pattern? And let me be very clear that I believe that these patterns are very deep, making excuses. The thoughts that feed us making excuses and defending our inability, they're very deep and can be lifelong if they are not challenged, exposed, and defeated. Otherwise, we'll go through our whole life making those excuses. I have an addiction. And we go into egg beater syndrome. I just get beat every time. I'm constantly being beat. Egg beater syndrome. I'm like a whipping up an egg white in a blender and I just get beat. How can I serve God that way? I'm just along for a ride. Forget it. You know, we think. I was in a time of prayer and searching yesterday, and God really spoke to my heart and gave me four conditions that we need to be in for Him to mold us and make us into effective kingdom builders and co-workers with the Lord Jesus. Four conditions that need to take place in our lives. We need four conditions that we need to develop in our lives. And the first one he gave me was, we need to get into a totally dependent condition. Totally. God can't ignore a dependent, surrendered broken soul. The dependent condition fuels so much. Let's look at Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. And this is a story of a man by the name of Bartimaeus. Story of a man who was very, very dependent, or became very dependent. They came to Jericho. This is Jesus walking through the Holy Lands, ministering to people. They came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples, They came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, Bartimaeus, the son of Timotheus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out, "Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me." Many people told him to keep quiet, but he was crying out all the more, "Have mercy on me, Son of David, Jesus." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him to me." So they called the blind man and said to him, "Have courage, get up, he's coming for you." He threw off his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. Then Jesus answered him, "What would you want me to do for you?" "Rabboni," which means teacher, the blind man told him, "I want to see. I want to see." "Go your way," Jesus told him. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately he could see and began to follow him on the road. Why did Jesus ask him, "What do you want me to do?" Jesus knew what this man needed. He knew that he was blind. He knew what he needed. He could have just said, "Bartimaeus, come here," and laid his hands on him and healed him. But he asked him a question. "What would you have me to do?" What do you need me to do in your life? He wanted Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, to express his need. And you know, God is still like that. He wants us to express our need. He wants us to be totally dependent on him, to express what we need, what I need in my life, so that I can be successful in the work that you've given me. When we are in a dependent condition, our lives become a witness to the truth and power of the good news, the gospel, rather than a hazard to it. He just wants us to tell him what we need, to be totally dependent. In Isaiah 6, chapter 5, Isaiah had a vision in which he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he said, "Woe is me, I am undone." In modern English, that would be, "I'm coming apart at the seams. I've seen the Lord, I'm undone. I'm coming apart at the seams." And that described to me perfectly what a dependent condition is. When we know that deep down, we're all messed up. deep down, we're coming apart at the seams. And we need Jesus in our lives. We need the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We need direction. We're all messed up. We've got the addictions. We've got the fear. We've got the feelings of inability. We've got all this stuff. And we feel like we're coming apart at the seams. And that's what we need to be in the condition of Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus. And Jesus is asking us, what would you have me to do? Oh, you who are coming apart at the seams, what would you have me to do? And it's amazing that we have that degree of surrender and that degree of dependence that we're saying to him, I'm coming apart at the seams. I need help. I need help. He will give you the help that you need. He will provide for you. He'll bring the Holy Spirit into your life like you've never felt it before, giving you direction, giving you focus, giving you clarity, bringing people into your lives who can help you, give you guidance. Yes, he will do that. But he wants us to be in that dependent condition. Dependence on God foreshadows all great things that God's people accomplish. Digest this that statement again. Dependence on God foreshadows all great things that God's people accomplish. It's that dependence that opens up the wellsprings of heaven. It brings the Holy Spirit right next door to us. We're hearing him. And we're able to respond to him. Another area in which we need to be in a condition. We have to be in a condition of continual prayer, communication with the Holy Spirit. Prayer flows naturally out of worship. We all know that when we're worshiping. We've talked about that before, and we've experienced it in our own lives, I'm sure, that prayer flows out of worship. Wonderful times of prayer. But there's more. There's more. So what is prayer like? Effective prayer flows out of an impacted heart, changed through the miracle of forgiveness and salvation. An impacted heart is different than before the encounter. It's different. When you're impacted, when there's a boom, just an impact, when God works in your life and something really happens, you feel it, you know it, that something happened. God changed me. He touched me. Then your prayer life changes as well. An impacted heart is different than before the encounter. Can we look at Romans chapter 8, verse 31 to 34? What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He did not even spare his own son, but offered him up for us. How will he not also with him grant us everything? Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is the one who died, but even more, has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Think about that a minute. As God impacts us and he changes our hearts and turns our hearts toward him, away from the things of the world and toward him, when he does that, let's remember that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. That should really make a difference in how we, the confidence that we have as we're working for him, as we're going out and we're investing in people's lives. That Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding and asking God to send help to us, to assist us. That is huge. That's the believer's triumph. That's how we have the power to do what he asks us to do, because Jesus is interceding for us. When we come to a condition in which we're praying, we're in a continual condition of prayer, a state of prayer. Our heart is dependent. It's unlocked. It's full of faith and trust. And our heart goes is silent before God. Silent before him as the Holy Spirit reveals to us the things that he wants us to do. He speaks softly and gently to us. And he disables the fleshly arguments of the mind. So the state and condition of Jesus right now, he's at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. So we are empowered as we intercede for people, as we're in a condition of prayer, as we're in a condition to responding to what the Holy Spirit is telling us, we have to remember that we have Jesus interceding for us. And we also need to be in a renewed mind condition. We have to be in a condition of prayer. We have to be in a condition of surrender and dependence. And we also have to have our minds renewed. You see, the mind is also deeply involved in any prayer journey that we're on, any journey of investing in people's lives. Our minds are very involved in this. It's like, do you ever get the sense, and this is the one that has really hit me through the years, I've found that my mind becomes very busy, very, very busy, almost like a bumblebee's nest, all these thoughts and memories and everything that we're doing and involved in and all our interests and everything. Just after a while, our minds get kind of cluttered and it becomes a little harder to focus. And did you know, those of you who are computer buffs, which I'm sure many of you are, at some point your computer has to be defragged. It's got so much information in there. If there's so much in there, it's just overflowing. It just starts to slow down. It starts to do dumb things. It just, yeah. Yeah, just, and that's when you get a little mad at your computer and you say, computers, they're wonderful when they work, but when they don't work, they're junk. See, our mind is also deeply involved in our journey, and it needs to be defragged as well. And I recently made a decision that I'm going to defrag my mind. As you can tell, it's not totally defragged yet, because I said nicotine instead of caffeine. But I am always have been, ever since I was, remember, I starting in 1968, I became a political junkie. Always liked to follow politics, debates and politics, and listening to political shows, and just it was just a big thing for me. And instead of, when I turn on the radio, I look for a talk show instead of godly Christian music. I look for a talk show. And I decided, I'm going to stop that. That's just cluttering my mind. I can't hear correctly from the Holy Spirit. I need to defrag my mind. I need to get that stuff out. So as of January 1st, I don't listen to political talk shows. I don't follow it a lot on computer or anything. I just kind of let that go away. And let that open up some more space in my mind for the things of God. Let that be, and I specifically prayed, let that be replaced with the simplicity of the gospel. Just the simple, basic gospel truth with not a lot of layers over it. Just that Jesus died for my sins. That he rose again on the third day. That he forgives me the moment I ask him, he forgives me and applies his blood to my sins, my failures, my weaknesses. It all needs God's, the blood of Jesus. It's like we need to defrag our brain. Romans 12, 1 to 2. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. What a wonderful verse. Don't be conformed to this age. Don't feed into all the interests that are going to clog your mind up. Keep your mind open and fill it with the simple gospel. Fill it with spiritual music. Fill it with prayer. Fill it with the things that allow you to invest in people's lives. Clarity of mind is vital. Our thoughts need to be clear on what's my purpose in life. And we need to ask ourselves, what clutters my mind and pulls my focus away from the simple gospel? We need to ask ourselves, what am I thinking about that causes me to lose sensitivity to the quiet, yet insistent voice of the Holy Spirit? What is it that leaves me no time or energy to focus on investing in the lives of people? The cluttered mind is a workshop of Satan's delight. Brings deafness to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Because if I'm constantly thinking about the things of the world, politics, what's going on in culture, what's happening around me in the world, and how do I respond to culture, and how do I respond to the situation that you have me in? What if we let some of that go and listen to the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. It's very quiet. It can be insistent, but it's very quiet. And we've got loudness in our brain, in our mind. And we're constantly thinking, what shall I wear? Like Jesus said, don't worry about what you wear or what you're going to eat, you know, all that. Just don't worry about that. Just concentrate on hearing my Holy Spirit. And He will do that. And it will help you greatly in your believing life. And we need, finally, we need a condition of humility. An open heart condition that says, God, deal with me as you will. Deal with me when you will. And one of the greatest areas of distrust in God is trusting God's timetable in our lives. God's timing is always perfect. It can cause us to say in our hearts, God's timing is always perfect, and we tend to sometimes distrust His timing. And we say in our minds and our hearts, we say, hey God, you need a little help with this one. Right now would be a perfect time for you to act. No, He knows when it's a perfect time to act. He knows when it's a perfect time to use us in someone's life or to help us with a situation that we're in. He knows, because He knows all things. So if we find ourselves saying, hey God, you need a little help. I can tell you when to do this. Perfect time right now. Just relax. Listen for the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. He's got things to tell you. Just let Him speak to you. Just relax. Let Him run the universe while you relax and listen to His Spirit. Worship team, you can get ready. I'd invite all of you to stand, and I'd just like to lead us in a time of talking to God. Dear God, I come before you as a humble servant, broken, dependent, totally dependent on you. And God, I pray that throughout this audience, you will be speaking to people, reminding them to let go of the clutter, to become like blind Bartimaeus, totally dependent on you. That they will feel and know that you are working in their lives, that they will feel and know that you care for them, and that they can depend on you. And God, I just pray that you will just chase away any confusion or clutter in our minds and fill it with the simple gospel, the basics of what Jesus did, so that we then have the time and the energy to focus on investing in people's lives. And I pray specifically that you will give every believer here a task, a job to do, someone to invest in, and that through your Spirit you will bring that to their minds. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.